Well, hi, folks. This is Jelaine Fenner, and we are talking today with the Garden Gal. This is our last segment for Strong Tower Radio today. And the Garden Gal is
Teresa Williams with the Wexford Conservation District.
And we've talked about organic, and we've talked about starting seeds. And right now we're going to talk about maple syrup because it is that season, kind of winter, getting to the end of winter and the beginning of spring.
And who doesn't love a good pancake with maple syrup on it?
Well, as long as you don't burn the maple syrup when you're boiling it. So, okay. So let's talk about, first off, maple syrup. It's only maple trees?
Yeah. You can make, there is a product called birch syrup, obviously made from birch trees, but maple syrup is from maple trees.
Okay. So you need maple trees.
Yeah, and sugar maples, no surprise, are the best option.
And the sweeter.
Yeah, because the sap is sweeter. You can make it from say, a red maple or a silver maple, but the sugar concentration in those trees isn't, in their sap, isn't as high. So you have to have a lot more sap to make syrup.
So does it matter if they're old maple trees or not too old?
Well, size is really important. If you think about the tree itself, you want a tree that, as you're standing looking at it right in front of you, that trunk is going to be at least 10 to 12 inches diameter. Smaller than that, you're not going to get a good sap run, and you could hurt the tree. So you want a good-sized tree to start with.
Okay. All right. And so, and I don't know, people that don't do maple syrup probably have no idea how much of that sap takes to make like a gallon of maple syrup.
It's a surprising amount. It's a, like a 40 to 1 ratio, 40 gallons of sap to get a gallon of syrup. So there's a lot of excess water in that sap.
There sure is, isn't there?
There is. You know, if you, you know, they've even started bottling sap just to, maple syrup sap, just to have a refreshing drink with just the barest hint of sweetness. But it is, that ratio is about 40 gallons of sap to make a gallon of syrup.
Okay, so let's talk about how do you, now they say you tap the trees. So what does that mean?
Tapping the trees involves basically drilling a hole in the trunk of that tree about 2 inches deep. And then you stick in this little thing called a spile, which is kind of like a little metal tube. And that, sometimes they're plastic, but you stick that in the tree, gently tap it in there, and then you collect the sap. Now, a backyard grower can do it with a food-safe bucket or a food-safe plastic bag. They make bags specially for maple syrup collection or maple sap collection. Commercial growers would usually almost always use tubing and often a vacuum system that basically sucks some of the sap out of the tree.
Really?
Yeah.
They suck it. I know I've seen tubes through trees. If you're going by, you know, some forests, start looking for that. It's, and I know there are people that just they leave it there from year to year. You know, they, now that's one thing though. So once it's done, you pull the the tap or the spile, you call it?
Spile.
Mm-hmm. Or I know some people say spouts. I mean, because that's
kind of... you could call it a spout, too.
Yeah. But they pull it out?
Right.
It's only, don't leave it in there all year?
No, because you only use a tap hole once. And in about 2 years, if you take it out after you're done collecting the sap, in about 2 years, that will be healed over.
Okay. Because I know I always thought, doesn't that hurt the tree, putting a hole in it? I mean, I'm thinking like poking a hole in me, that blood comes out.
Well, part of the key is this is done in winter when there's no active insects, there's no active diseases out there. And if you drill the holes in the winter when you want to collect the syrup and then you take those spiles out when you're done, the tree usually is okay.
Okay. So, and now you got to tell us so people understand why you do it this time of year besides the insects. It has something to do with the cold, as I've been
told. Right. Yeah, what happens when we have nights that are below freezing and daytime temperatures that are above freezing, it's, and more than just one, you know, the first day of spring that doesn't really run, but we get a collection of these days, the pressure, there's a pressure gradient that happens, and it forces the sap up the tree, and then by tapping it, by putting that little hole in the bark, we can collect some of that sap.
Because what is the sap doing for the tree?
Well, it's the circulation system of the tree. It's transporting the stored sugars from the roots up through the tree so that the tree can initiate growth in the spring.
Okay. So when it's warm, I mean, that you hear people say the sap's running.
Right.
And because it's gotten warm.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want it to be warm all the time. And why is that?
Well, it's that freezing temperature at night that makes that sap go back down to the roots. And then in the daytime, when it warms back up, there's that pressure gradient happens again, and it forces the sap back up the tree.
Okay. So you do like it to be warm during the day, but mm-hmm. then you want it to be
cold at night.
Yes, freezing, you know, going back below freezing, right?
Correct. Uh-huh.
Okay. So, and that's why in February, especially late February and March,
mm-hmm.
that's the weather starts doing that.
Right. And that's what we're trying to time our, a lot of years, the time for collecting sap can be really short, maybe a week or two. In other years, it can be several weeks to a month or more. So it all depends on the weather patterns of that particular year.
Because if it's really warm and cold, so it's moving up and down.
Right. And that's what we want.
Okay. So if it's just kind of warm and doesn't really get freezing, that sap is not going down.
The sap changes in character if the nights stop going below freezing and it doesn't make as good of syrup.
So when you're saying it doesn't make as good, because it's...
It gets cloudy, for one thing. The quality just diminishes for syrup production.
Okay. All right. So you're, especially for people that might be new at wanting to do this,
mm-hmm.
what's the best way for them to, like, research?
You know, I know Penn State University has on the internet, they have maple syrup production for homeowners, and there are some good books out there. I know Chelsea Green Publishers has a good book out now on maple syrup production, but there's a lot of free resources. And if they go to, you know, I like to, on a web search, put what I'm looking for, maple syrup production or whatever it is. And then a lot of times I like to add university to that search box.
Oh, okay.
Because then you know it's been vetted. It's been looked into. Mm-hmm. Is this accurate? Is this good information? If it's coming from a university, people have looked that over to make sure that you're getting the best information they can give you.
Okay. So now you've got to, like, drill a hole.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
With a brace and a bit. That's how we do it. Some people use a power drill, but I like a brace and a bit because I feel you have more control over it. And you want to go about 2 inches deep to get the best production. And at the very slightest of an upward, not downward, very slightest of an upward angle, because you want sap that has some pressure behind it. And that's what you want to collect. Mm-hmm. Plus your spile doesn't fall out of the tree if it's, you know, at
right,
a slightly
yeah.
upward.
Okay. All right. So you've got this, you got the hole and you put your spile.
Spile.
Okay. And you put that in there.
And you gently tap it in with a mallet.
So it just stays a little bit more secure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sap will come out of it, but what's it going to go into?
That's where you have either a food grade bucket, or they have sap collection bags. Again, it's with food grade plastic in it.
And where do you buy these supplies?
You know, in our area, a lot of local hardware stores have them because so many people do it as a hobby. But there's also on the internet, you can find commercial sap production supply stores, and even on Amazon, I'm sure you could find some.
Okay. So now you're going to collect a bucket. So I'm thinking a bucket,
mm-hmm.
and you're saying a food grade. I understand that. But buckets they don't have tops.
Oh, you know what? I like to put, and they make these, a little hood for the bucket so that you don't have things falling into your sack.
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, maybe it might get windy and some of the bark might, or,
yeah.
you know, some dead leaves, or what about insects or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, and so they make little hoods. The plastic bags, they're not open, and so none of that ever gets in there. But for the metal buckets, they do make these hoods that go over your spile to prevent
things. Well, what do you guys use?
We just use a screen.
Okay.
I'm just a hobbyist for maple syrup. I don't do it commercially.
Well, that's why I think a lot of people are, and you know, can...
We put screening over it, and it keeps the big things out.
Okay. So you need 40-some gallons mm-hmm. of sap to make 1 gallon.
Right.
Okay. So 40 gallons is a lot. What are you putting it into?
Well, you don't have to boil all 40 gallons at the same time.
Okay.
And, you know, you can boil 5 gallons down at a time in a big pot. And most people do this out of doors because most people can't handle all that moisture going into their house. You'd have to have a pretty good exhaust system to get all that moisture out of the house. So a lot of people do it over a hot fire. You want a hot fire because the quicker it boils, the better the quality of the syrup that results. So do it over a hot wood fire out of doors. And a lot of times people construct a mini fireplace just for boiling sap that you might get. There are syrup pans that are meant specifically for boiling sap down. And sometimes they take a concrete, build a concrete block structure that's U-shaped, and the front of it is where the open part is where they can put the firewood in, and then the pan will rest on the two sides of that U-shape, and then they'll have a chimney coming up out of it so that the smoke goes away from the syrup.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, and that way you get the highest quality syrup.
Okay.
Now, the commercial maple syrup producers, they have oftentimes now something called a reverse osmosis machine that can take out about half of the water so they don't have to boil as much.
So how does that work?
They have special membranes that are semi-permeable, and it lets they're used in water purification systems a lot. And then the semi-permeable membrane will allow pure water to go through. And for most applications, that's what you want is the pure water. But in a maple syrup, you use what's left behind, and that's the water that has the sugars in it.
Okay. And, you know, most people we're talking to are probably your hobby.
Yeah.
You know, or thinking about, well, wouldn't that be cool to make our own?
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
It is. You know, it's something. I mean, it's like gardening. It's, you know, something that I produced. You know, of course, God does the rain and the water. I mean, we might water too, but it's something you did and you got to see it and then you get to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's part of learning how our natural world works.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, because you hear about people say sugar shacks,
yeah,
you know, and so that's where. So you can use a stove.
Yes, you can.
An electric stove.
Yeah, I've done it in my house, but not very much. I mean, I'm only producing a small quantity when I'm doing it in my house because you know you have to get rid of a lot of steam, and where you don't want the steam to, you know, ruin the things in your house.
Yeah, you're boiling in that,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, when you boil, you get a lot of humidity.
Yes.
Yes. And that humidity of sap, that's I've wondered, because we've done some in our house. In fact, I burned it because we had boiled it down maybe outside and brought it in to kind of...
To finish it off.
Yes. Yeah. And so I can just tell everybody what I did. I went online, you know, and did a search for maple syrup and found a couple of sites and then, you know, watched somebody, what they were doing and listening to them. But then I didn't pay attention as it was boiling. So it kind of burnt, and that doesn't taste so good. It was a nice golden color, you know. So, yeah, that's another thing, though, I've seen in syrup. Sometimes they're thicker. And then they're more runny, more watery looking. Sometimes they're very light. Sometimes it's a nice golden, or sometimes it's dark. Because after having the experience of burning, I'm thinking, well, anything dark, you might have burned. But that's not true.
Not always. There are different grades of syrup, and a lot of times it has to do with how old was the sap. In terms of, you know, first run sap is going to be your lightest sap, and by the time you get towards the end of the tapping season, it tends to produce that darker syrup. But when a commercial syrup producer is doing it, there's national standards out there for grading the syrup by color. And then there is a standard for the sugar content. And it's right about 67% sugar content.
But how are you going to know that at home?
At home, one of the ways you can do it is by temperature. And sap reaches the syrup stage when it's about 7 degrees hotter than boiling water. And your listeners might know already that your altitude changes what temperature water boils at. So first, in your home, figure out what is the temperature that water is boiling at. And in Michigan, most of the time, it's going to be the standard 212 that we always hear about. But you might want to double check that. And it's syrup when it gets to be about 7 degrees hotter than boiling water.
Okay. And so I know that I have used the candy thermometer to
see
it's about,
great. Yeah.
So you know what, I mean, you can see something boiling, like you're saying, but what temperature is it? You
know, so like, about 219
yeah.
for what we're looking for. And there's also an instrument called a hydrometer that can be used. And it's fairly inexpensive. They're about $20. And you can pour syrup into basically this metal tube-like stand, and then you stick what looks like a candy thermometer in that, and that will float based on the sugar content of the syrup.
Oh,
and
really?
So you match up. There's a red line that will tell you this is where you want to be, and then you compare your syrup that you're boiling down to where are you on that red line.
Okay. So if you want to, you know, get a couple of... Well, it's not even a gallon. It takes 40 gallons to make 1 gallon.
Correct. So, you know, you might want to have a goal of making a pint, not a gallon.
Okay. So if you did want to get a gallon, you know, which would probably, I'd say 4 quarts, you know, jars, how many trees is that, though?
You know, this is based on personal experience. We've got the tree, maple tree closest to the house is the one that gets tapped because it's the easiest.
It's close.
And it's a pretty good sized tree. It's much bigger than that 10 inches, but we can put 2 taps in it. It's about 20 inches. So we'll put 2 taps in it. And from that one tree, we can produce, a couple quarts. It's been our experience.
And how long does that take you then to get it? I know it kind of depends on the weather.
Depends on the weather. 2 weeks, you know, by 2 weeks of collecting and boiling, I've had enough. So for hobbyist level, and we can get a couple quarts out of doing that one large tree by our house as a fun venture.
Right. So if you have a couple of trees, because one thing that's nice that people that kind of do this for a hobby, and you don't burn it, it's a nice gift to give to people.
Oh, yeah.
Because maple syrup
that you made yourself.
Yes. Well, and maple syrup's expensive to buy.
It is.
You know? And so, is there anything else we should know about maple syrup?
The only other thing I would say is when you're drilling your hole, you want to look at the color of the shavings that are coming out of the tree, and you want them to be nice and light. And if as you're drilling your hole, the shavings that come out are dark, it means you've hit some damaged wood. So try in another place on that tree.
Well, I can tell you, if you're a hobbyist and haven't done it much, because the more you do it, the better you get, go online. You can really learn a lot.
There's lots of information.
Yeah, and there's pictures, and that's kind of the thing.
YouTube is great.
Yeah, because when I was boiling it, I mean, we were boiling it, but the reason why it burned is because I wasn't paying attention to what they were saying, you know, how you're getting down. I knew it was getting down. You really need to pay attention
when
you're getting down near to the end. So don't burn it, folks. It doesn't taste as good. Okay, well, Teresa, what are we going to talk about next month?
Next month, we're going to look at fruit trees because we want to do some care to our fruit trees in the very, very early spring. So we're going to look at pruning our fruit trees and maybe a layout for your vegetable garden, some thoughts on that. We're going to look at how to optimize our fruit tree health, and our crop of the month next month is going to be raspberries.
All right. Well, folks, that'll do it for us today, and we hope that you're learning a lot. Teresa's very knowledgeable, and if you have any questions, you can get a hold of Teresa
at the Wexford Conservation District, and the number there is area 231-775-7681, extension 3.
And in case somebody... Maybe, you know, because we're all over the state, they can call their local.
Yes, every county, every place in Michigan is covered by a conservation district. Some of them, a district might cover more than one county, but every place, everywhere in Michigan is covered by a conservation district.
Okay. So, I mean, if you want to call Teresa, you can call here locally in Wexford County, or you can call your local soil conservation district and ask them the question you might have.
That's right. And thank you so much for having us.
All right. Thanks, folks. Bye.